Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Victorious living in perilous times, and we are going to consider victorious living when someone is very fierce to you. We all know what fierce means because basically we are very fierce people. Those who had been my recruits will know how fierce I had been. I hope it is in the past tense, no more in the present tense. Literally, the word means someone who is a savage, someone who cannot be tamed, untamed. Literally, that's what the word means. It is the only occurrence in the entire New Testament, and this word describes one of the characteristics of the perilous times that we are living in. Some time back, it was reported that a group of teenagers were at the bus stop in England, I believe. They just out of the blue, for no rhyme or reason, beat up this elderly Asian man. Beat him to death, and he died. Road rage, these are all part and parcel of a description of what it means to be fierce. Where there is some kind of feeling just simply overwhelms and takes control of our senses. And then we allow this feeling, this emotion of rage to dominate, and then it controls our behavior and our conduct and our mouth and our actions. And then we hurt and we harm anyone who stands in our way at that very moment until we calm down, until we settle down. But this kind of rage is becoming more and more prominent and dominant in our society, and therefore do not be shocked, because the Lord had already warned us that in the last days this is part and parcel of what will characterize the world before the Lord returns. Fierce, untamed, savage, beast-like behavior and conduct from human beings toward one another. You stand in my way, you block my path, you hinder what I want, I will hurt you. This is the attitude that is becoming more and more in schools, found in workplace, found in every society. So how can we be victorious in our witness and testimony in the face of such behavior? Just look at the next few verses before 2 Timothy chapter 3 that would bring us to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 22 to verse 26 is the passage for our consideration. The antidote to a savage behavior or a fierce behavior. This is the antidote. A Christian must not behave with this kind of savage behavior. Sometimes it may be an outbreak of it for that moment, but it must cause us to break our heart, to show forth this kind of behavior and conduct which belong to the old man. It must not be found in a Christian. And so from these few verses, we will discover how we can protect ourselves against such behavior so that we will not retaliate and react or respond exactly like that. Because it is very easy for us to respond and reciprocate this kind of savagery toward us. We can see this too often on roads that we drive in Singapore. Road rage is how the newspaper termed it. And now it is a serious offense whereby the person will have to be incarcerated. You cannot buy yourself out of it. How should we deal with such behavior? First, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. First thing we need to do is to make sure we keep the right company. The right company will enable us to have the right kind of conduct. And it will help us in ways that you could not imagine. That's what verse 22 says, isn't it? Make sure we follow them that call on the Lord out of a clean heart, a pure heart. People who do not have hidden agendas. They do not have unfeigned faith. They are sincere. They are transparent. What you see is who they are. Please try to find friends like these. Because friends like these will help you. When they see you in error, they will tell you. They will influence you in a very positive manner. So make sure that your friends, your close friends, are people who are godly, people who are Christians, genuine Christians. We are not talking about false Christians. They are a dime a dozen. Please don't be naive. Just because the person calls himself or herself a Christian in any business dealing, you let your guard down and you do not be as businesslike as you ought to. And then when things go sour, you become very discouraged and say, oh, Christians behave like this. Don't be naive. There are more false Christians, professing Christians today than in any period of human history because we are in the last days. The Bible warns us, false Christ, false teachers, false prophets, false Christians, they are a dime a dozen. So make sure that the people you call your friends are people who love the Lord with a pure heart. They are people like Jonathan and David, where the relationship is so pure, so clean, where both will want each other's life to be in accordance to God's will and God's word. And so when Jonathan was told, and when he found out that David will succeed his father's kingdom, any other son would want to kill the enemy because to take away a kingdom is not like taking away a house or an inheritance or a small company. Even a large company cannot be compared to a kingdom. But Jonathan was a man similar to that of David. Both of them are men of God where they desire the will of God to be accomplished in each other's life. Men after God's own heart, Jonathan and David. And so when he found out, he was very ready and willing to protect David from his own father who scolded him and called him all kinds of names, in order that God's will be accomplished in David's life. He cared for God's will, not his own, even if it means losing a kingdom, losing the power, losing the prestige of being a prince and a king. It did not bother him. Pure heart. That's what we need. And what do you do when you're around such people? The Bible says you follow righteousness in your behavior and conduct with such people. That means you live a holy life. You make sure justice abounds in that relationship. That you are an honorable person. And you keep following. You don't just follow overnight because it is in the present imperative tense. It is a command and it is a continuous following which you do not stop. You keep on following for the rest of your life. Righteousness when you are around such people. You do not tell lies. You do not spread lies or rumors. You stand on righteousness in your behavior, in your conduct, in your speech, in your motive, in your thought. That you want the best for one another. That's how you ensure that when you are confronted by fierce behavior and fierce people, you will not become like them. Because it is so easy. Don't forget the old man is struggling with the new man. The old man, as Romans 7 warns us, what you and I desire to do from God's word, we can't sometimes because the flesh is there, the law of the flesh. It will be there, this tension. That's why sometimes we succumb to sin. That when you are a follower of righteousness and you keep on surrounding yourself with godly men and women, with godly friends, it will help a great deal. And you keep following righteousness and then you follow faith. It is a life of faith, always a life of faith. Do not let anything or anyone replace your life of faith, because the just shall live by faith. And it is very easy to replace this life of faith, and sometimes it is a very gradual decline. And it is so gradual that you don't even know that you have stopped living by faith, and now you are living by experience, you're living by the dollars, you're living by the confidence of the things you have accumulated in this life and in your bank account. Before you know it, you have already stumbled and fallen and you have backslidden. But when you are around people of faith, it will influence you, it will help you, it will strengthen your faith in the process as well. Because you will mutually encourage one another and warn one another. Don't lose sight of how you must walk by faith. Keep on following faith with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then keep on following charity. Charity means love in action. Unconditional, agape, sacrificial love in action. Show love. Be hospitable. Be helpful. Share, give, show love in concrete ways, in concrete terms, toward one another, toward, together with Israel, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Show love, genuine, sincere love, unconditional love without any expectation of the person doing anything good to you in return. You just simply do what is right and you just do it out of the love that God has given to you without any hidden agenda. How wonderful it is, isn't it, to have such friends, plural. How wonderful it is to be that kind of friend to others. That you will always stand on righteousness, that you will always stand on faith, trusting in God to provide, to look after, to protect, and then you always show love, genuine, sincere love to one and all, regardless of who that person is. That's what unconditional love is. Friend or foe, you show the same love. And then peace. Make sure that you are a peacemaker. Make sure that peace is what you always long for and try your best to guard and to protect and to maintain. That you do not be the instigator of trouble. Don't be a trouble starter or a troublemaker. Always seek peace with whoever God brings into your life. So even when a person is fierce, you will know how to respond in peace. Not impossible, but very possible for someone who wants to follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That means for believers. Bottom line, believers must have these attributes following us, characterizing our behavior, conduct, and our lives, so that when we are confronted by a fierce individual, because it is a spur of the moment, very often it's a spur of the moment and you do not have time to contemplate. You have to make sure that you determine in your heart before the event takes place. Like young Daniel, you think it was just an afterthought that he decided never to defile himself by the king's food? That had been brought and grilled into his young soul. So much so that when he entered into the land of captivity in the capital city, majority of his peers, young, strong and healthy, just simply succumb and follow the way of the Babylonians, except for him and his three close friends. Three close friends, all three of them who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. They encourage one another. So wonderful to have these kind of friends in your life to keep your life on an even keel, on a spiritual plane, that you will not lose sight of where you are heading to heaven. And to do all these, you must first flee. You cannot follow these continuously for the rest of your life if you do not run away from certain things. In order to run toward all these things, to keep on going in this direction, you must first run away from these things. You cannot run in two directions because they are opposing directions. It's either one direction or the other. You cannot do both. And that's why this verse warns us, you must do this couplet. Flee before you follow. And both in the same tense, present and imperative. Continuously to flee, continuously follow, and it is a command. You cannot take both at the same time. You cannot follow youthful lust and then righteousness and faith and charity and peace. You must throw away, run far, far away from youthful lust. That's the word flee. Don't let it even come near you. Don't even try to see how close you get to youthful lust before you get burned. Youthful lust here simply means the lust that young people are most prone to experience. Youthful lusts are very potent and powerful because when they were not youth, they were children. When children, these feelings did not exist. And as they mature, as they begin to realize their bodily changes, as they mature, as they grow up, these lusts begin to flame. And they will grow brighter and brighter and stronger, and very often, if they are not put under control, they will cause them to sin. Many young people have fallen into great sins today, so much so that they are found in all these prisons for young children. They are not called prisons, of course, but that's exactly what it is. To keep them away from these adult prisoners, because these adult prisoners are committing much worse crimes than them. But some of these young people are just as bad today. Just as bad. Youthful lust. The strong feelings and desires that characterize the young people. And you and I know what they are. Because we see them and we have experienced them before when we were young. And it has inflamed and destroyed so many lives. And you cannot follow after righteousness, faith, and charity, and peace if you do not flee from this. Now, why did the Apostle Paul give this to Timothy? He was already a pastor in the church in Ephesus when he gave him this epistle. Because Timothy was young compared to many of the people whom he served and he watched over. That's why Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Don't just allow age, your younger age, to cause you to stumble and fall. Because these elders, some of them were not very godly, but they were elders in the church. And they were intimidating young Timothy. And Timothy was affected by the intimidation. And so Paul told him, don't let anyone despise your youth. You live a godly life and a holy life. It is difficult enough because you are young, but it is not impossible for you to teach them, to guide them because of the office, because of the laying on of hands that you have been entrusted. Don't forget your office. Do not allow age to diminish the office that God has entrusted to you. But to do that, you have to prove your case. And to prove your case, you need to live a holy and a righteous life. And to do that, first thing you must do, young Timothy, is to flee youthful lust. He was not a teenager. Far from it. He was a young man compared to the others. Perhaps he was in his 30s. Because this would be around 65 AD. By the time we come to 95 AD, when the Apostle John wrote the final book, the book of Revelation, one of the seven churches that he ministered to, the first one was the church of Ephesus, which was where Timothy was the pastor. And since he did not mention Timothy, perhaps Timothy's ministry lasted about 30 years. And then the Lord called him home. He was not there anymore. And since it was under John the Apostle, that's why the Apostle John wrote to these seven churches. Most likely he was the pastor of these seven churches and he addressed them to deal with the problems that were there in these churches. Some were problems, some needed encouragement. So Timothy was young and that's why he had to be warned. You must live a holy life to influence the congregation that God has placed in your care. And remember, including some people in your midst who might be very, very fierce. And your life, you must keep doing, keep following this pathway. And let it become part and parcel of you. Wherever you go, whatever the circumstance, you will keep following righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Regardless of the reaction and response of the other party, you remain constant, you remain true, you remain faithful to Christ. In your life, this is a characteristic of a person's life, of a believer's life. Righteousness, you do right all the time. You walk by faith all the time, trusting in God. No idols in your life. You continue to walk by faith. And then you make sure you are motivated by agape love, which is also very practical. And then you make sure that you embrace peace at whatever cost. Try to make peace. No matter how violent or fierce the other party is, you want peace. Whatever it takes, you make sure you want peace. Sometimes you may be in the right, but if by asserting your right you do not get peace, then I forego my right, I turn the other cheek. You waited for 45 minutes for a car park. And then when this car was about to move out, you sigh a great sigh of relief, and then suddenly this car just simply took your spot. Without hesitation, without waiting, the person just came in and took your spot, and then you've been waiting there for 45 minutes, and now you are fuming mad. What do? Get out of the car, scratch his car, go back in, and then drive off. You do that? Felt like it, huh? Do something nasty just to get back at that person. You know that kind of feeling? That's the fierceness. Retaliate, fight. My spot, for a car park space. After half an hour perhaps, you sit down, then you realize, for a car park space, that kind of feeling just whelmed up from within me and nearly overwhelmed me and controlled me. But if you want to follow peace, no matter what, let him have the spot. Never mind. If he wants to behave in that manner, so be it. You just wait for another 45 minutes perhaps. Wait now. Either that or drive somewhere else to park your car. Whatever it takes. If you are not predisposed in your heart and in your mind to have these characterize your life, you and I are in danger, because these fierce people, they will just simply spring up in front of you without you realizing it. And if you are not predisposed to have this, whatever cost, follow righteousness. By faith, I follow. By charity, I follow. And I want to follow peace, because I am a Christian. If you don't, you're going to be in trouble, because these people are around us. Second antidote, keep avoiding. Verse 23, one is keep following, the other one is keep avoiding. Keep avoiding what? Foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid. Shun. Foolish means godless, impious questions. Unlearned means questions that are literally stupid, questions that have no answer. Ridiculous questions you avoid. Some of the attackers of the doctrine of verbal plenary preservation of scriptures apply this verse. Foolish and unlearned questions. Is there a perfect Bible? That's not a foolish question. That's a very, very biblical question. Did God inspire His Word? Very, very biblical question. Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? That's a very biblical question. These foolish and unlearned questions describe those that are godless, those that belong to impious questions just to undermine and attack God, undermine and diminish the deity and the humanity of Christ. These questions that will destroy, damage the faith of believers, don't ask. Sometimes through the internet, some people are very, very callous. They just ask questions that they know has no answer. And then they CC to so many people, 20, 30 people on the CC list. What is the point? What is the purpose of this kind of questions? Is it to show that you know better than everybody? If you really want to find out about an answer to a question, you write to someone who thinks, whom you think has the answer, just one-to-one. Why do you have to CC to so many? What is the purpose? You stumble people. And sometimes these questions are really, really foolish. Really foolish. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And they just simply ask them. No rhyme or reason. Only they know, and God knows. You avoid. You keep avoiding. Don't get sucked into this kind of questions which you know have no answer, and these people are unteachable. These people just simply ask questions to try to show off who they are. You avoid such people. Because very soon, one thing will lead to another, and before you know it, you start quarreling. That's exactly what the second half of verse 23 says. Knowing that they do gender strifes. Present tense, keep on gendering, keep on giving birth to strifes, quarrels, fightings. So you make sure you avoid these kind of questions, and make sure you do not get sucked into it by these people. Anyone who writes in that manner, CC to so many people, never reply. Ignore them. If they are sincere, they really want to find the answer, let them write to you 1-to-1. Or else, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time, because one thing will lead to another. You are going to waste your time, and then what you could have used that time to do something much more fruitful and beneficial, it's all gone. And then you get very emotional, and the person just asks on and on and on and on, and you know it leads to nowhere. Avoid. Learn how to avoid, because in our age of the internet, you will be bombarded by all sorts of people with strange questions. Avoid. Because if not, it will give birth to fightings and quarrels to no end. So, second thing to note, first, keep following. Second, keep avoiding ridiculous, nonsensical questions that you know have no answer. Avoid them. They may appear spiritual, they may appear like questions that are biblical, but they are not. How did the sun stand still when Joshua prayed and asked God for 24 hours of sunlight in his battle against the Amalekites? You want to answer that question? You know the answer? How God did it? That kind of question is ridiculous. Nobody knows except God. Does that mean that there were 24 hours of darkness on the other side of the earth? See, this kind of questions you just simply ignore. Don't waste your time. How did God create something out of nothing? Please tell me how. You are God. You have the answer. Sounds nice, isn't it? Sounds biblical, isn't it? Sounds theological, isn't it? Don't entertain. The Bible didn't say, you don't say, don't waste time. Your guess is as good as the next person. And nobody will be able to give you the right answer, because these questions have no answer. They are ridiculous. They are silly questions. If God does not tell us how He did it, nobody will know how He did it. Just simply believe that God said so, God did it. How He did it, we do not know, but He can do it. And He did it because the Bible said He did it. That's it. Plain and simple. By faith. You just believe. Follow faith. Don't get sucked into these kind of ridiculous, nonsensical questions. And thirdly, finally, verse 24 to 26, you keep humble. Keep humility as your sister. Someone close to you. Everywhere you go, you bring with you humility. Because that's the key, isn't it? Keep being humble in meekness, you see? Keep on being humble. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. The servant of the Lord there is, of course, the word doulos, slave. As long as you and I see ourselves as slaves, as nobodies, it's so easy. The moment you see yourself as somebody, big problem. And the world will always want to remind us that we are somebody, when in reality we are nobodies. True? You have your name card. Every time you look at it, here is the somebody. You go to your office, you are the CEO. Everybody tells you that you are a CEO. You have your big name emblazoned at the entrance of your office. You have a car park there, space just nice for you with your name there or your car number there. Everywhere you go, you become a somebody, and sometimes you think you are still a somebody when you come to church. Forgetting to realize that the moment you come to church, we are all sinners saved by grace. You remember King David. When he brought the ark into the capital city of Jerusalem, what did he do when he brought the ark in, when he did it correctly? That was after the Uzzah incident. He did it the right way. The wife was unhappy. You know why the wife was unhappy? Because the wife said to him after he arrived, What were you doing, king? You shamed me. You are a king. How dare you dress like that, like a commoner, dancing in front of the ark of God, together with the rest like a commoner? You think David was king in front of God? David understood his position very well. I might be king in Israel, I might be king to these people, but I'm never a king in front of God. That's why he stripped off his royal garment, he dressed like a commoner, and he danced and he marched in happiness, in joy, in great jubilation, as they marched and brought the ark into the capital city, making it not only a political capital, but also a religious capital. And he understood his place, his position before God. He was not a king. He was just a commoner. And that's why he could tell his wife, I am prepared to lower myself even more whenever I stand before God. When we come to church, when we serve God, you and I are nothing but sinners saved by grace. Leave behind all our titles. All of us, equal footing before God. Sinners saved by grace. Not CEO, no big shot in any church. All of us the same. Sinners saved by grace. And so we worship the same one living and true God, because all of us have been totally depraved and all of us have experienced the goodness, the grace and the mercies of God in our lives. That's humility. And when you and I remember who we really are, slaves of the Lord, we must never quarrel, never strive, but instead be gentle. Be gentle unto all men. All means all. Especially those who are fierce. Especially those who are listed here in chapter 3. That's how we have victorious living in perilous times. Make sure that these fruit of the Spirit characterize our life and our mind and our heart and our thinking. We must not strive. We must avoid strife and instead replace it with peace. And then we be gentle unto all men. Have to teach, educate them, guide them, help them, and be patient. Patient means to exercise enduring, long-suffering in the face of great difficult circumstances. The word long-suffering by itself refers to difficult people. Patience means difficult circumstances. You don't lose your cool. You keep your heart, your mind, your soul, your tongue by the help of the Holy Spirit under control. And then in meekness, instructing, the word instructing there is like training a child. Be patient. Explain very gently like you do to a child. Of course, not in a way whereby you look down on that person. Not in that way. Instructing those that oppose themselves, because that's exactly what they are doing. They are opposing themselves. They are hurting themselves. If God peradventure will use you and give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves, help themselves, save themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Because these people who are fierce, who behave in that beast-like manner, like savages, they are basically snared by the devil. And by behaving in a savage manner, we are not helping them. We are not helping ourselves. We are not helping the testimony and the cause of Christ. But when we keep following righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, and we do it as a gathering of God's people, encouraging one another to do that, and to keep avoiding all these nonsensical questions that may gender arguments, fightings, and quarrels, and strifes. And then with meekness, knowing that we are nothing but servants of the Lord, we be gentle to all men, teaching them patiently, like children. Keep on teaching them, peradventure, maybe, by God's grace and God's mercy, God may use you to quieten them down and to turn them, perhaps even, unto the Savior. And that's how they are delivered from the snare of the devil, when they turn back to the Lord. And this, dear friends, we need to do. At home, in school, in church, everywhere we go. Because we are living in a very, very savage society. not just society, a world. Very violent, very fierce. You go to some cities, they tell you it is not safe to drive in these cities. 20 years ago, when we were in America, we visited Philadelphia. Some of our American friends told us, you be very careful. At night, even if you see the traffic light red, you don't stop, you just zoom right through, because they may just simply shoot you or rob you. Reverend Mark Kim in Nairobi, 100 yards from the entrance to the Bible College, he was carjacked. Because the road toward the entrance of the Bible College was full of potholes. And so you drive slowly so that you will not ruin the suspension. One guy was on the left, one guy was on the right. As his car slowed down, both of them just simply walked toward him, took out the gun, and that was it. The daughter went to school. The bus or the vehicle that the driver took to bring the daughter to school was also carjacked. And when they hijacked the car that Reverend Mark Kim was in, they told him, if you are somebody else, because the people there, they don't like Indians, because the Indians took advantage of them. They told him, if you are an Indian, we will kill you. But you look like someone who has a very kind face. You give us your money, your handphone, we let you go. They let him go. But they took everything from him, his handphone and all that. Very fierce. You are told that when you are there, please don't wear expensive watches or whatever, trinkets that you like to wear. And the weather there in Nairobi is very cool and very nice. We were told, when we are driving, we never wind up the window, we don't turn on the air condition. So the window is always down. Please don't put your hand like that. They just drive by with a pillion rider, take a parang, cut your hand off, take your watch and your ring, and then bye-bye. And you want to chase after them, your blood is bleeding. So when you sit, we always put our hand in. That's the world that we're living in today. That's the world. Protect ourselves. How? Victorious living in perilous times, that we may not end up like that. This is it. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Avoid nonsensical questions. And then, in humility, always remember we are servants, slaves of the Lord. No big shot. Don't let anything, any title, any position ever go to your head. Please don't. Don't ever. Nothing but servants of the Lord. So if we are being pushed around, if we are being kicked around, so be it. That's what they do to slaves anyway, right? That's what they did to slaves, and that's what they will do to slaves today. No rights. Kick them around, punish them, even kill them. And nobody will rise to defend them, because they are slaves. But that's who we are, slaves. Not of any man, but of the Lord. And don't forget that. And because we are such, when fierce people confront us, by God's grace and God's mercy, react in peace, in humility. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy patience, Thy long-suffering in dealing with each and every one of us. How at times, in moments of weakness, we have shown forth our fierce anger toward those who are closest to us. O Lord, forgive us. Wash us of all our sins by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, O Lord, to protect ourselves in these dark and perilous days by following righteousness, by following faith, by following charity, by following peace, with those who love the Lord with a pure heart. And teach us to avoid such unteachable, ridiculous, nonsensical questions, that we may not be sucked into it, that will lead only to fightings and to strives and to quarrels. But keep us humble, always reminding ourselves that we are nothing but servants of the Most High God. And by our patience and with much teaching, may we be used by Thee to save some who are outside Christ, even those who are fierce. May Thou be pleased to use us to draw them unto Thyself. For Jesus' sake, hear our humble cry. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.